Well, let's get into the Word. Psalm 52 is where we are. The Psalms have been amazing and wonderful to go through, and this one is going to be no different. There's so many different things about the Psalms. We think, you know, the Psalms is just David crying out to God because his enemies are trying to kill him again, right? But it's a lot more than that. There's a lot of things going on in these wonderful Psalms. And this Psalm, Psalm 52, it is a Psalm of David. And it was written, some of these Psalms we can tell when they were written and what they were written for. Some of them we don't know. Most likely, this Psalm was written when David was fleeing from his life from Saul. You know, there was that few year period where David, even though he was doing everything right, he was Saul's right-hand man, he was fleeing for his life. And King Saul was jealous of David, wanted to kill him. So there was this time where David goes and he's fleeing and he goes to this city in Israel called Nob, N-O-B. And there he seeks refuge from the priest, the priest that was there, and the priests are kind of in that area. It's actually 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22, if you want to go read it later. It's actually kind of cool because he finds Goliath's sword and all this stuff. It's really neat. But what happens is not neat, which is David goes to the city of Nob. He gets refuge from the priest, but one of Saul's men is there, this guy named Doeg the Edomite, who probably wasn't an Edomite, probably was an Israelite. But that's a whole other story. But anyway, he was called Doeg the Edomite. He was there, and then he relays all of this information to Saul. He says, David's here. David's doing all of these things. And Doeg, with Saul's orders, kills 85 priests in that town. And then, if that wasn't evil enough and bad enough, he sets the entire city of Nob on fire and kills everybody. It's a horrible, horrible situation, all shown, like I said, in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22. This psalm was written in response to that. It is called a maskil, which you'll see in the little heading of your psalm. This is a type of psalm that teaches us a lesson, and there is a very important lesson to learn here in Psalm 52. And the lesson is that Doeg, and really evil people in general, evil men, evil people in general, they may flourish in this life. And there was a time where they obviously flourished. Look at all the pain that they caused. Look at the death and destruction that they caused. So this world and this life is not without pain and destruction and hurt and illness and all of these sinful things many times. And so the lesson is, even though evil may flourish for a time in this world, it may be that those that will work evil get away with their evil ways, but the lesson is it's only going to be temporary. It's not like God puts his stamp of approval on it. You know, many times we think when things happen and God doesn't immediately answer with a lightning bolt from the sky and strike somebody down, that God is giving consent to it. And we have to get that out of our minds because that's not how it is. Certainly in this case here and in many cases that we experience every day. This evil that we're experiencing is only temporary, and the future of the wicked, those that do evil things, will be temporary. And what ultimately will happen is they will have separation, eternal separation from Hashem. But the lesson also with Psalm 52 is that the righteous who may temporarily experience pain, suffering, persecution in this world, in the Olam Hazeh, this is just temporary because the righteous have a hope and a future with God forever and ever. And that is a tremendous blessing for us. So let's begin Psalm 52. We'll read the first four verses. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty men? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. So this is obviously talking about the evildoers, the people like Doeg, like Saul, like these people that were plotting evil against righteous, innocent people. It happens all the time. It happens every day in this world, and it is evil. We need to call it evil. And when the text talks about O mighty man, remember it's a temporary mighty man, but it's mighty man, it can be referring to Doeg, the Edomite directly, or anyone doing evil. This psalm can be used universally. Psalm 94, let's turn there for a minute. So, and a lot of, all the scripture corroborates itself about this. There's a lot of Bible that talks about this issue. Psalm 94, 3 and 4. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exalt? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. There's a lot of boasting going on in this world today by people plotting evil. A lot of boasting. Frequently we read things like this where the psalmist or the righteous person is lamenting. You know, it's the old adage, why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever asked that question? Probably followed up with, why is life so unfair, God? Why don't you just smite our enemies and let's be done with it, you know? We're impatient. We want it all to happen now. But that's not how things work in the timetable of the Lord, which is obviously very different most of the time than our timetable. Why is life so unfair? Well, first of all, the answer to that is because it is. And life is unfair. You know, when we're kids, we grow up thinking, I think wrongly, life is unfair. And if I just do the right thing all the time, if I go to work every day, or if I play nice with people, or if I do this right, or if I obey the traffic laws or all this stuff, everything good is going to happen to me. That is not how the world works, because the world is a fallen world that we live in. And so we're playing by a different set of rules. It's an unfair set of rules. And honestly, it's not God's set of rules, because it's the prince of the air, which is the enemy, Hasatan in the Hebrew, which is the adversary. He's going around and he's got temporary dominion in many parts of this world. So life is unfair because we live in a fallen world and we know that sin is throughout the world. But we need to be honest with ourselves, though, today when we look at Psalm 52, because it's very easy for us to say, look at that evil person, look at that evil person, look at that evil person. I'm doing so much better than them. I'm poor David in this. Well, remember, David sinned greatly, and we sin greatly still. Even the best of us, Isaiah talked about it, our best is like filthy rags. We have to be careful that we don't get on our high horse and say, well, we're the ones that are righteous all the time, God, and those are all the wicked, smite the wicked, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But we have to know that nobody is perfect. Even 2,000 years ago, when Yaakov, James, wrote his book, he was admonishing the believers, and he says this in James chapter 4, verse 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Guess what? He wasn't talking about the world. He was talking about believers. He was talking about the people reading the letter. We have to be careful that we don't get an arrogant spirit, a boastful spirit, like we know better and everybody else is wrong. So we need to be careful. This is a message for us today. Because all of us can fall into the snare of wickedness if we're not careful. And here in James 4:16, here in Psalm 52, there's an emphasis, if you notice, boasting and speech. There's an emphasis on words. Words are very important. The psalm takes into account, of course, that wicked people do wicked things and that's wrong, but it really starts with not our deeds and our actions and our decisions. It starts with our heart and then with our words that we say. Words can lead to violence. Of course, we know that all too well in our world today. But the emphasis here is on words. The tongue is powerful. If we turn to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom in the Bible, a couple of Proverbs verses about this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. It does not say death and life are in the power of the Excalibur sword or whatever you want to, you know, whatever weapon or bow and arrow or Uzi or whatever. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have to remember that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. That's crazy. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So our speech, our tongues, the words that come out of our mouth can either bring death or they can bring life. And we need to be very careful that we're breathing and speaking life to ourselves and to others around us. The overall theme here in Psalm 52, verses 1 through 4, is that the wicked say and do all manner of evil things, and many times it seems that they get away with it. Doeg the Edomite got away with it. Saul, giving the orders to kill all those priests and all those people, got away with it. And this can be extremely discouraging for you and I. We look out in the world today, we scroll, we turn on the TV, we read all about evil people flourishing, prospering, getting away with evil. And it seems like the righteous, those people choosing to do good and not evil, they're the ones being persecuted. They're the ones in pain, and then they're the ones in suffering. And it's not fair and it's not right, but it is only temporary. And this is the message. Now let's continue in the passage today. Psalm 52, 5 through 7. But God, see that there's the change there. However, but God will break you down forever, talking about the wicked. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. So you see how things change right there in the psalm. The wicked's reign is only temporary. Now, verse 5 is very interesting because there are four different descriptors of who the wicked are. And it's worthy to go through these very quickly here and talk about them. Number one, the wicked will be, and this is all in verse 5. The wicked will be, number one, broken down. This is natatz in the Hebrew. That means to pull down. It's frequently translated as destroy. You may have that in your Bibles. So these are not good, by the way, descriptors of the wicked. They may be flourishing today, but number one, they're going to be broken down, destroyed. Number two, they're snatched, chata, which means to take hold of. And it means to like snatch and grab hold of. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be snatched like that from God and grab the hold of. That's not a good, hey, I love you, I want to grab hold of you. It's, you're doing bad things, let me pull you away from that. You're snatched. Number three, torn from their tent. Also not good at all. It's like the word here is like a tearing away, like a violent tearing away. And number four, uprooted. This is probably the most damaging of all in my mind, because uprooted, the Hebrew word here means to uproot or to deal with the roots. You know how roots of a tree go down in the ground? It's as if you're pulling the tree out, but you're also uprooting all of the roots. Uproot, right? You're pulling out the roots. Every trace of the wickedness of the person that did those things is gone. It's been uprooted. It's been taken. People are frequently referred to in the Bible as trees. I believe one of our songs today talked about trees. People are frequently referred to as trees. Now, we talked about this a little bit in our tour for today talk last week. And when we talked about it, we talked about how the Bible frequently refers to people as trees. And trees, of course, bear fruit. You can bear what kind of fruit? Good fruit, or you can bear bad fruit. So when you see trees in the Bible, a lot of times it refers to us. Good fruit and bad fruit. So those that are producing consistently good fruit are considered righteous. And those that are consistently producing bad fruit are considered wicked. And here in Psalm 52, it describes God as uprooting those trees with the roots and all of the wicked. It's not just that their trees are taken away, which means their life is taken away. It means that they are up, their roots are dealt with even under the ground. This is powerful. Psalm 37, verse 20. but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. It's kind of weird to think about this because all we see many times when we see the wicked in life is they're prospering. They're very evident. They're all over the news. The celebrity status of these people. It's like you can't get away from them. They've got all this fame and fortune and whatever. But what this says is, in Psalm 37:20, they're going to vanish like they were never there. That's how a contrast this is. Proverbs 24, another proverb about this, verses 19 and 20. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. You're going to go from light to complete darkness. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. God gives us a clear choice. We have a choice to do good or to do evil. To do good is to choose God and to walk after him in his ways because only God is good. And to do evil is to literally do the opposite, to turn away from God, to do whatever we want, to do what others want. It's doing everything except for what God says, and only God is good. Now, here's the thing. Here is the thing. God doesn't want people to be wicked. He does not desire that you and I would continue in our wicked ways if we're doing wicked things. He desires that all men and all people come to him. He's not going to force us to do good, but he wants us to choose to do good, to choose him. Let's turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? The Bible is filled with references about how the wicked, if they turn from their ways, they will be delivered. And we see many wicked people like David turning. He did great sins against God, and yet he was redeemed. He was a man after God's own heart because he turned from his ways. So if we look through the text, Psalm 52, verse 6, it says that the righteous shall see and fear. David saw and he feared God and he changed. Many wicked people over the years have sought God and changed from their wicked ways. But what are we to fear? We're to fear God. We're to fear God. The Hebrew word for fear is yare, and it does actually mean to physically, emotionally, whatever, fear. It means to be scared in a lot of ways. But it's also deeper than that, and it also means to reverence God. We should fear God because we know that God has given us breath, and guess what? He can take away that breath. But we should also reverence him. Sometimes a good, healthy dose of fear can be good for all of us to motivate us to do the right thing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. That says it all right there. Now remember, this is David talking here, and we know that, as I said, David had done some really wicked things in his life. At times in his life, we could have pointed to David and said, that is wickedness. What he did was horrible, and he would have deserved the punishment of the wicked. But we know that there is redemption with the Lord. There is chesed, there is great mercy, because we know, and we looked at Psalm 51 last week, that's basically David turning back to God. Forgive me, God, for I sin. Cleanse me. You know, we talked all about this last week, Psalm 52, last Shabbat. He turned. He's a great example of someone that can turn from their wickedness and turn back to God. And in Psalm 52, he's describing himself and all righteous people when he says, in the portion of the text that we read a minute ago, that the righteous, in contrast to the wicked who are uprooted by their roots, the righteous people are rooted. This is extremely important to see this contrast here. We read a few minutes ago how the wicked will be uprooted by God, but in contrast, the righteous will be rooted like an olive tree, it says. The righteous will be rooted like an olive tree. It's It's amazing. Let's go to that text and read that now. Psalm 52, the last part of Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. This is David. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. What an amazing turnaround for David. He's talking here about how the righteous are like an olive tree. So, of course, what did I do? Because I don't know anything about olive trees. You probably don't know much about olive trees, too. I went to the internet, of course, where everything you read is true. And I found this article, which I believe to be true, actually. And it's 10 things nobody tells you about olive trees. That's the name of the article, okay? Because I wanted to learn, if David is describing olive trees in Psalm 52, and that we're like olive trees when we're righteous, well, what is an olive tree like? I'd like to know. 10 things about olive trees. I'm not going to read all 10 because some of them don't really apply, but here's the ones that are really applicable. Number one, olive trees will outlive you. Did you know that olive trees can live for hundreds and even thousands of years? So they can outlive us. A man and his, you know what the Bible says, 120 years maybe for man at this point when we live in our earthly bodies here. So number one, they can outlive you. Number two, they are slow growing. Interesting. Slow and steady wins the race. When we talk about our faith in Yeshua, it is being deliberate, slowly learning and growing. You probably heard people that just jump on the bandwagon and just, they're like flash and they're there. But you know what? Easy come and easy go. It's slow and steady wins the race. As we come into faith in Yeshua, we need to grow. We need to learn. We need to be reading the Bible consistently. We need to be growing in our faith little by little by little in the Lord, just like the olive tree. Number three. Ooh, this is not easy, but it's not an easy one. But you know what? Olive trees need proper pruning. Nobody likes to be pruned. I don't like to be pruned. Do you know what pruning is, right? When you, I don't know the terms and everything, but you know, you cut back on the tree because if you don't prune the tree, the olive tree or any other tree, it's going to grow in a haphazard manner. It's going to grow unhealthy. It's going to eventually die. So olive trees need proper pruning. And guess what? We're like trees. We're like olive trees. As believers, we need proper pruning. That means sometimes we get pruned back a little bit. That means sometimes we get disciplined by God. And it's hard. It's hard to be disciplined, but it's ultimately for our own good. That surrender, that pruning back is good because it's going to allow us then to grow back in a healthy manner. This is really biblically how we should be growing. Sometimes there's pruning, not only for people, but organizations, congregations, and different things. But it's healthy because God wants to prune it back so that it can grow more lush, more full, more mature, just like the olive trees. And number four, this is also very interesting, olive trees are considered sacred. You know, we are considered sacred. We're made in the image of God. We're not just people that can be discarded and life is just this and that and thrown away. Life is precious. Life is sacred. And you know what? Our life as a believer, as a follower of Yeshua, is sacred. It is special. And we need to treat it as such. Believers are sacred to God. David compares the righteous in Psalm 52 to olive trees and the house of God. Now, I want to read from Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert. Doesn't sound like a good olive tree to me. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Verse 7 now. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You know, as olive tree believers, You probably feel like I do. I want to feel good, and I want good to be happening in my life all the time. But that's not always the case. There are certainly times in our life where it can feel like the heat is on and the drought is there. And it doesn't mean you're forsaking God and you're doing wicked things. Remember, things aren't always what they seem. The wicked seem to be perishing or seem to be prospering for a time. So when we get into these quote-unquote drought seasons, it's not just, oh, what did we do to sin to cause all this? Sometimes God walks us through valleys. Sometimes the heat is there. Sometimes the drought is there, and we just need to walk through it. This is, so what it says is, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You and I, as good olives, healthy olive trees, could continue to bear fruit like olive trees do, even in times of heat and drought. We have to remember that. It may not feel good around us. Things may not be going great in our lives, but the peace that passes all understanding is in us. The growth is still happening. The nurturing by God is still happening. We still got roots by the streams of water, which is a whole other thing about the analogy of God and streams of water, the water of life, if you will. So we need to be understanding biblically that. And this is important because if we don't know biblically how we're supposed to live as believing olive trees, then with the first flash of drought or heat, we're going to think, what did I do wrong? I've got to do something else. What did I do, God? What did I do? And you may not have done anything except for do the right thing, because many times the righteous for a time are persecuted, and it's not because they did anything wrong. Now I want you to turn to Psalm 1. Go all the way back to Psalm 1. I'm going to read the entire thing. Don't worry, it's only 6 verses. But it also talks a lot about the righteous and the wicked, the two contrasting types of people in Psalm 52. So Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Torah, the law of God. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." Boy, this takes on a whole nother meaning when we understand about olive trees now, doesn't it? That his leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. That's a whole other message, by the way. Number 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Wow. Great tie-in to Psalm 52 there. I definitely want to be righteous. I seek to be righteous every day. I don't always do righteous things or think righteous thoughts. But again, nobody is perfect. And I'm striving, I pray that you're striving to be righteous before God, because the righteous have a future with God. And as followers of Yeshua, we need to be well-rooted and healthy olive trees in and out of season. That's what God wants for us. Last scripture today, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. "So that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Messiah that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So when the knowledge is there telling you what you're doing is wrong, I can't believe it, you're going through a drought because you're sinning. Remember Job's friends, by the way? "You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong because I'm seeing what's going on with you." Don't listen to that. We need to listen, not to knowledge many times, but to that still small voice, to that peace that's within us, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. So Psalm 52 teaches us that even though we look around today and we see the wicked flourishing, it doesn't make sense with our eyes. They're prospering. They're getting ahead in life. Everything they touch is gold, so to speak. It's only temporary. The Psalm tells us, the Bible tells us, the future of the wicked is not good. It's really bad. But in contrast, the future of the righteous, being a well-watered, healthy-rooted tree, means that we're in the house of God, we're in the presence of the Lord, and we're in the presence of God forever and ever. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that this scripture matches this scripture, Lord, and your word is perfect, and it all together gives us a picture that we need to strive to be well-watered, rooted, growing trees, growing olive trees in you, Lord. It's very difficult to look around and see with our physical eyes and frankly, to get easily discouraged. But Lord, help us to see with spiritual eyes. Help us to strive to be those olive trees in season, but also out of season. Teach us, Lord God, to look to you and not to look at the world for encouragement about this. I pray that we would all grow to be rooted and mature and healthy olive trees in the Lord. We thank you, God, and we praise you for your word and for you. In Yeshua's name, amen.